Well, greetings, church family. We enjoy such a wonderful fellowship as saints of the Lord. We are so blessed in this house today. Welcome to all of you. I also want to greet the ones that are listening online. The camera's right there. Our Pastor Kenny said he was going to be coming in, so whoever else is online besides Pastor Kenny, hi. We're here. Family Worship Center is live. All right. Our text this morning is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 21. You're welcome to turn there. Dave Hare, he's a missionary friend of mine. He just is about to finish his furlough. He's been traveling all over the United States sharing about the work of Bible translation in Cameroon. He spoke many times all over the states at many different churches. He shared this perspective after all that. He said, "Preaching is an act of spiritual warfare." Ladies and gentlemen, there's a battle when a preacher stands up at this sacred desk to declare the word of the Lord. This puts the forces of darkness on notice. Dave Hare continued, he said, "Pray for your pastor. Pray for deliverance, victory, spiritual protection, and Holy Spirit inspiration. I'm the stand-in speaker. Pray for your main pastor, Pastor Kenny. And remember," we're about to pray, "but remember, we both have a responsibility. The speaker, the preacher has a responsibility. The hearer has a responsibility. It's in Scripture. If you hear the word of the Lord, you are held responsible for that by God. I'm responsible to bring the correct, infallible word. We are responsible to listen and to apply. Let's go talk to God. Father God, you are the Almighty. You are victorious. Father God, you're on your throne right now in heaven. And you are surrounded by light. There is so much light in heaven, Father God. You're in front of your sea of glass where there's peace. And Father God, you just love your children. And we are gathered, Lord, in your house today, one of your houses, Father God. And we just consecrate this place for your word to go forth, to be mighty, to have an effect. Lord, we open our hearts before you. We humble ourselves that we would hear and apply what you want us to hear today. And just for a moment, Lord, we just stand up in the spiritual realm and we say, enemy, you're banished from this place. Angels of light, you're so welcome here. We just thank you, God, for preparing this text for us to hear today. Lord, let my mouth minister words of grace and truth. In Yahushua's name, amen. Darkness. Complete, utter darkness. No light at all. Inky, black darkness. I said earlier, this flashlight does not work. There's no batteries. Imagine standing in the dark and your flashlight does not work. I'd be tempted just to toss this thing like that. Forget it. I don't want it. It's not at all what I need. I need light. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the earth was without form. It was void, which means it was pretty much empty. And darkness was on the face of the deep. Jonah used the word deep when he was down in the deep. Darkness, inky black darkness. What was a time that you were in the dark? Just think of a time when you were in the dark. What was it like? Perhaps you were alone. What came after that? Did you become afraid? Did you want to start running, perhaps? Were you frozen? I know as a child, sometimes when I would go to bed and the lights were really dark that night, I would just want to curl up in fear and just fall asleep as fast as I could before it got really scary. There was this time that I was hunting up north in the Upper Peninsula, far north. We had a cabin in the woods, and my hunting stand was like, I don't know, like a half mile north of the cabin through the woods on a trail. I would walk back after it was dark, because that's how hunters do that. They stay out in the woods long after dark. Anyway, it was dark. Okay, Upper Peninsula, by the way, does anybody know what lives in the Upper Peninsula that's dangerous to man? Bears. Thank you. Anyone else? What else is up in the upper? Wolves. So, I don't know what it was. One time I was walking back, and I'm like trudging. I'm the only one making noise, I think, just trudging. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I think like one third of the way through, I was like, I'm just going to stop and listen. So I stopped. It was very quiet. I thought I heard rustling. I started to freak out, like, man. And then the thoughts come, what if I twist my ankle? What if I fall down? My buddies kind of know the trail I'm on. My brother, out in the dark alone. I made it back that night, but it just stuck in my memory. When you're all alone in the dark. All right, so we have this here, darkness. I should back up for a second. We're going to talk about three topics this morning: darkness, light, and worship. So this is the darkness part of the message. Okay, so we have our text in Ephesians. The writer is talking about darkness, but it's not physical darkness. Okay, he's using a picture. He's using an allegory of what we've experienced in real life to describe the spiritual realm. And he's pulling back the curtain, and he's explaining what is in the spiritual darkness around us. He's describing people that behave in ungodly ways. Right? He's describing people that are under the influence of demons. They're under the influence of sin. They are serving selfish impulses constantly. They have their own logic. And did I say they have more sin? Did you know sin begats sin? Terrible cycle. All right. So then, the writer in the Ephesians here, he brings up who he's writing to. He's writing to Christians. How many of us in here are willing to say we're a Christian by raising our hand right now? I'm a Christian. Okay? I'm preaching mostly to the choir this morning, just so you all know. You all are Christians. Here's the thing, though. You all have a past. I have a past. There's a moment in our past when the light was off and it was dark. We were doing these things. I was doing those things. Some of you don't want to think about your past this morning. There might be regrets that are back there. I have a couple regrets. Perhaps if you looked at the Ten Commandments, you look at your past, you might have broken one or two or more of those Ten Commandments. Maybe it still bugs you. There's hurts. I think all of us, if we've lived on planet Earth, have been hurt by another person. There's hurts. We've been hurt. We've been angry. We've been victimized, perhaps. We've been antagonized. And perhaps we even have been the antagonizer. Perhaps we can think of a time that we hurt on purpose someone else. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness. Another version says, for though your hearts were once full of darkness. Okay, so in the spiritual realm, darkness is separation from God. Okay? Just like this flashlight on the floor here is separated from the power source and will not work, it is separation from God. What does that mean? That means we're willful, that means we're rebellious, that we are corrupt, and that we are sinning. Ephesians 5, verse 11. We're just going to go through the text, and we're going to talk about the awful things that this text talks about. Ephesians 5, 11. It talks about take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Take no part. We were taking part. But this is what's happening in the darkness. 5:12, it is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. When have I talked about the ungodly things that people do? When have you talked about that? It says it right here. It is a shame to us when we talk about, as Christians, once we're in the light, to talk about those things. 5:15, do not walk as fools. 5:17, do not act thoughtlessly with quick, knee-jerk responses to situations. Do not be unwise. So pause. Please pause. When you feel those emotions welling up in you and you know that it's possibly going to just bring forth a negative, terrible reaction, pause. And none of us can do this on our own, folks. We need God to intervene here. Ask God to help you to pause. When we are acting in anger and pride, it's usually not good results. Pause. As you mature in your Christianity, I do hope and pray that this happens in your life. I've seen it happen in my life. You can sometimes use your anger and your angst over a situation as a signal to pause. All right. We're going to keep going about what things happen in darkness. And Ephesians 5, 17 through 18. The will of the Lord. It says it right here. Who here has ever wondered what the will of the Lord is for their life? Who's ever walked up to God and be like, tell me, God, what is your will for me, Father God? Some of you younger people, and we don't have a lot of them here, but some of you young people is like, what does God want me to do with the rest of my life? What is your will for my life, Father God? I've heard a sermon from John MacArthur. It was a lot longer than what I'm going to make this here. And it was, he says this. He says, this text is amazing. It says, this is what the will of God is for your life. And then it goes on. It says, do not be drunk with wine. All right? Let's throw some common ones in there. Beer, liquor, shots, the bar scene. Okay, folks? You might be getting the thing here. Do not become drunk with wine. I did research on this. It talks about, this specific text, the writer is most likely talking about the orgies that they had with the temple and that sort of thing. I'm just kind of making this a little bit of an application to us. Do not be drunk with wine, because it will ruin your life. Some of you may know some moments when your life was somewhat ruined, when there was alcohol involved. Too much alcohol. The New King James says dissipation. The Old KJV says wherein is access. When we have alcohol and it's too much, there's access that occurs. The Greek word is azotia, and it means unsaveness, rioting, profligacy, which is a looseness and a scattering. Okay. I have it here. Be one of those who say, I do not drink. Consider it, seriously. I've been in unsaved circles, and I've been offered something to drink, and I say, no, I don't drink. The esteem that people have for me goes up, not down. It's a testimony. It's a self-control thing. So, just a thought. We're going to go back to we're going to end this section on darkness. We're almost out of the dark, folks. Here we go. Ephesians 5, verse 7, the first verse in our text. Thank you for doing the slides. Ephesians 5, verse 7, do not participate in the things these people do. Right off the bat, okay? Do not do these things. It's a little bit difficult for me to stand up and tell you what to do. Some of you are older than I am. I'll just back it up on Scripture. I am trying to share what Ephesians, the writer of Ephesians, the preacher that wrote this text, this is what he's saying. Okay. All right. So next, we'll just do, I'll just do this really quick review so we all get it. We'll do this throughout the sermon here, so here we go. You were once children of?
Darkness.
Okay, we got it. We're going to do that again a couple more times later, so we'll work on our responses there. All right, the next part of the sermon here is light. We'll go back to our Genesis text, Genesis 1, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." This is the best one that I could find here. Let there be light. This is not actually the brightest. This is brighter. I'll try to shine above your heads. Okay. Let there be light. Is there light? Are you guys convinced? Okay. Oh, and it flashes in case anyone. Okay. All right. Let there be light. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This is the message he has given us to announce to you. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. We are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are living, if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Jesus Christ is, we have fellowship with each other. Praise God, there's a way to get fellowship with each other. The blood of Jesus, the Son of the Father, cleanses us from every sin. Praise God, there's a way. All right, so going back to our text, Ephesians 5, verse 8. Now, once you were in darkness, now you are full of light from the Lord. You are full of light from the Lord. The Greek word here is phosē. It's to shine, to make manifest. It describes like a luminous fire. So think back then, they didn't have flashlights that they could pull out of here, right? This one might not. They didn't have that. They used fire. So it's a reference to fire, phosē, in Greek. Okay, so what are examples of light in our society that we all enjoy? This is kind of a pop quiz, fun question. There's not really that many wrong answers here. What was recently, what did we shoot up in the sky for?
Fireworks.
Thank you. What about like a little in the children's room, you might find a little nightlight, right? On the side of a street, you might find a street light, right? These are examples of light in our society. When we look up in the sky, we see, what else? What else? Okay, so when we see light, our response is often to move toward it. If we're in the dark, we want to move toward the light, right? That is not of our own. Praise God. God propels us toward the light. We love because he first loved us. He moves us toward that light. There are those that see the light and they've forsaken it. Okay, some of us may have other ideas of what we have inside of the temple of the Holy Spirit. What? You don't want to tell yourself that you're full of lies. You don't want to tell yourself that you're full of hurt. Right? You want to make sure you're telling yourself your right identity. You are full of light. And this light is of the Lord. It's not of yourselves. Ephesians 5, verse 9. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Okay. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of the light in all its goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is describing what we all long for: moral excellence, integrity, honesty. We would love to see that in each other. We want to say that to each other. We want to say those words over each other. We can check this list with Galatians 5:22, because this light is from the Holy Spirit inside of us, shining through us. And we know that when the Holy Spirit came in, the light went on inside of each one of us. This is my little handy demonstration. I'm going to put on one of these things for a few seconds here. So Galatians 5, 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that we want to say. I am walking in gentleness. I am walking in self-control. I am ministering kindness to people. These are the things you want to share with yourself, with others. you are walking full of patience because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you and you have the light shining out of you. So this goes right into our next thing. Walk in the light. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Do we have a volunteer to say that? Can you say that for us? Go ahead. Walk as children of the light. Thank you. Our behavior should show that we are a child of the light. Not just this, but that we are actually a child of the light. We've gone down the behaviors, given ourselves a little run through. Ephesians 5, verse 10, try to find what is pleasing to the Lord. Do you know it's going to take a little effort to find those ways to be pleasing to the Lord? It's our task to find them. Ephesians 5, 13 through 14, when the light shines on them, when the light shines on the deeds that the ungodly are doing in secret, it becomes clear how evil those things are. Sometimes as Christians, we have confusion in our life about if something's good or not. Should I watch this movie? Should I go to this event? God doesn't want confusion. He wants us to shine the light of his word. And we can go back to this list and say, does it fit the things of the Holy Spirit? When your light and where your light shines, this is the verse I'm wearing this thing for, and where your light shines, it will expose the evil deeds of darkness. Praise God. Praise God. All right, so the next section here, we're going to walk carefully, right? This is not going to be easy. Nope, we have lots of pitfalls here. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, be careful how you live. Live as those who are wise, making the most of every opportunity to do good in these evil days. This was written a long time ago. I think the days could still be considered at least slightly evil. Okay? This applies here. When it says make the most of every opportunity, some people say, some texts say redeeming the time because the days are evil. You may have heard that from your different versions. What it means is walk carefully in your lifetime. This is when you have been placed here. Accomplish God's purpose with what you have been given. Walk as if you know life is short and you have appointments to make with unredeemed, unregenerate people. Okay. You want to be ready. You want to be prepared. You want to be walking in the light so you can share the light. How bright is your light? Okay. This is something that I had to struggle with when I was studying this. What if your light is somewhere in this range, right? You know, what if we turn on our lights and the world is like, I'm not so sure about that. Ephesians 5, 17 through 18. Try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. Let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Ephesians 5, 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Okay, so we're going to pause here because this is the last verse of this text, and this actually is part of the introduction for the next section of Ephesians, which Pastor Kenny is going to pick up. So here, let's think about this for a minute. Prepare our minds ahead and also realize when we have the light inside of us, this light is going to help us submit to one another. Okay, so here we go. You will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay, it's not necessarily because of the human vessel that's in front of you that says they're a Christian. It's not because of them per se. It's because you submit to them because of the Lord, because you know that Christ is living in them. This is, by the way, this is an unnatural reaction to submit to one another. It's not easy, right? It requires humbleness. It requires spirit-filled Christians to defer your opinion to other Christians. It requires a bit of a fear of God. Think for a moment of your children. And if someone's bothering them or hurting them, if you've never had children, think of other little children. how do you feel as a parent or someone that looks over them? Do you want that hurt to continue, or would you kind of jump on it and be like, hey, you need to stop? Right? God does not want his children hurting other children. Okay, it's back to God here. He's watching us as his father. We have a responsibility. It's him. So this is where the fear of God, you may, like I said, the person in front of you may not think too much about, but you fear God so much that you are not going to. It's an awe-filled reverence for God. All right, here we go. Next section is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. This is a special section in this text. It says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We had the children say this earlier. Okay. This is a quote from Isaiah. Most likely it was a song that the older Jews knew. They had sung it for a very long time. And this is actually a salvation in a capsule, three phrases. Awake, you who sleep in darkness. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1 says, in that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song, the song we just mentioned. Verse 19, we have this assurance, those who belong to God will live, their bodies will rise again. Those who sleep in the earth will rise up and will sing for joy. For God's light of life will fall like dew on his people. Beautiful. And then this is a direct quote, Isaiah 61 and 3. Arise, Jerusalem. Remember, he's talking to his children. Arise, let your light shine for all the nations to see. We are still in this calling right now to let all the nations see. There's about 1,900 languages left in the world that have no scripture. Those are many nations. Let all the nations see. For the glory of the Lord is shining upon you. Okay. This word light in this verse, it's a different Greek word, so I want to make this clear. The light that we've been talking about has been like a fire or a luminous. This is different. This is the Greek word epiphao. If you hear it, it's similar to the word in English epiphany, right? And some of you may have heard about Advent and the traditions, the epiphany of Christ. This is what this, Christ will give you light. Christ will be the epiphany on your life. It's a little different than shining a light. It means Christ is going to manifest and appear and be the brightness that overwhelms you. Think of Paul on the Damascus Road. Think of your personal salvation when you stepped across from darkness to light. That was an epiphany moment when Christ manifested himself in so much overwhelming way that you were like, Jesus is Lord. He's my Savior. The indwelling Holy Spirit gives us that light in that moment. And just for a second, since we're here, we're in church, if anyone has not made the decision to welcome Jesus Christ in our lives, in their life, and perhaps some of our younger ones, if you have not said, Jesus, come into my life, I need you, you're welcome to come talk to me right now. Right now. That's so important that all of us will be so glad for you. All right, so we're going to do some review. Here we go. You were once in
darkness.
Good. Darkness, just as a reminder, it means spiritually degenerate. Deeds that you were doing are evil deeds. Now, okay, wait, we have a volunteer. Do you want to say it? No, okay. Now you are children of the Lord. It's not our light, it's the light of the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit indwelling. Just kind of a quick checkup on your Christianity. How filled with the Holy Spirit have you been? Are you running on lower than full? Ask some questions why. What's in your life that's detracting that? Are you manifesting the fruit of the Spirit? We've reviewed them. if you're not manifesting one or two of them, or if you're struggling in manifesting, let's try to find out why. All right, here we go for the next point. We're going to talk about the last part of this section here. Songs and worship. Ephesians 5, 16, last part of 16 written through to 19. We want, now that we know we're walking as children of the light, and we are not wanting any part of darkness, we are imitating Christ, and we confess and turn away from known and revealed sin in our life, guess what? We will sing psalms, we will sing hymns, we will sing spiritual songs among yourselves, among ourselves, and we will make music to the Lord in our hearts. Hallelujah. Okay? There's a similar verse in Colossians. We won't go there because of time. But let's talk about what the difference is between psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay? Psalms. We know the book of Psalms. That's one of the answers. Psalms where they actually sang those psalms to the Lord. Okay, so we can see the text in the book of Psalms. It's the singing of Scripture. Kind of the overall. You're singing Scripture. Okay? What happens when you're singing Scripture is it embeds it deeper and deeper in your spirit, in your heart. Okay? Some of us can remember a song from years ago. We'll hear it on the radio and memories will come back. That song brings it all back. Scripture, when we sing Scripture, okay? Often the worship songs that we sing in here have little bits of Scripture in them, just so you know. We are singing Scripture, okay? So think about the songs that don't have Scripture in them. Think about how often maybe we should sing those, okay? Okay, so we know what psalms are, singing Scripture. We remember the songs long after having forgotten a conversation, perhaps. So let's talk about hymns. Hymns are lyrics or words that give testimony to God. These are songs about our Heavenly Father's grace, His power, His purpose for our lives, His people, us, and about who He is. Hymns celebrate the triumph of Jesus Christ. They share our adoration for who He is. This is what hymns are about. Okay, so we've done Psalms, which is Scripture, hymns, which is about triumph and adoration. Spiritual songs. Okay, here we go with spiritual songs. These are new melodies that just spring up from our hearts in worship to the Lord. You're in that situation and you just start spontaneously praying or singing out loud. That's what this is. We already talked about it. That is not of you, right? God put that right through you. The Holy Spirit is just flowing right out of your mouth. Praise God. If you're not doing that too often, try. Go far away from people if you need to and just start singing in your car. Just turn the radio off and just start singing to God about what can happen. Psalm 96, verse 1. We have a command right here. Sing a new song to the Lord. Right? Right there. It's okay. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Did you know that the songs we sing now were once never were? We're singing new songs now. You all are more than welcome to sing new songs to the Lord. This has a Greek word in there. When it says spiritual songs, it's pneumatika, and it means divinely spiritual, regenerate. The word song is like an ode. It's a general term, right? This seems to indicate that Holy Spirit-filled people are singing what the Spirit has given them in an original and personal expression. It's a song that just bubbles up out of you. All right, so some application questions here. How are we singing on a Sunday morning? Okay. I said this in my last sermon. I don't want to leave you at your current state of Christianity. I'm sorry, but no, it is not enough. You all need to be better Christians. I need to be a better Christian. We need to level up. This question is to help us to become better Christ followers, better imitators of Christ. How are we singing on a Sunday morning? Do you come in dragging or celebrating that you're in the house of the Lord? When the song is there and you don't know the words, you just kind of phase out and like, I don't know what's going on there, blah, 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 blah. Or do you let your spirit start communing and letting those words soak in? Okay? We understand that sometimes we sing new songs up here. I believe this morning was a new song, right? I don't know what you all did. Maybe let those words soak in. Ponder them. Reflect. Okay? And then we're welcome to sing anytime. I kind of touched on this already. But sing when you're gardening. Sing over your cooking. Sing over your job site. I was out there in the sun on a job this week. I had my earplugs in. It was a loud job. I was like, well, no one's going to really care. I'm just going to start praying out loud and singing. Okay? It's a testimony. Because you imagine the person that walks up behind me, my attitude is going to be so much different. I turn, oh, yes, hi, how are you doing? Let's take care of whatever you need, right? Because you're communing with the Lord. You're welcoming the Holy Spirit into your life. So the hospital, are you singing in the hospital? Are you singing in the middle of your grief? Are you able to say thank you for that? When you're at your cubicle, when you're on your boat on the lake, are you singing?
Oh, yeah.
It's great acoustics, guys. All right, so on a Sunday morning, when we come into this place, do we look at the name on the sign? This is called Family Worship Center. If someone new walks in, how is our worship going to be? Family Worship Center. It's not family teaching. It's not family conference. It's not family prayer center. We are making this a house of prayer. Family Worship Center. Okay? This is going to happen much better when we as saints are worshiping throughout the week. Okay? You bring in a spirit of worship. Let me tell you, our worship team longs for each of you to be lifting your hearts in worship on a Sunday morning. And we will do it when we've worshiped throughout the week. We will do it together. All right. Here we go with our last admonition from the writer of Ephesians. The preacher wants us to talk about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And you will always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6b. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. All right. We're going to do this out loud right now. Okay? We're going to thank God for all that he has done. I'm going to have a watch on. It's going to be about 30 seconds. Out loud, folks. Here we go. On your mark, get set, go. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. His name. Amen. All right, so as a way to thank God and show him how much we appreciate it, I encourage all of us to step up our worship. Okay? We want to be in God's house and let him know how much we just enjoy what he's doing in our lives. It will help our light shine, I promise. All right, so Hebrews 13:15. With Jesus' help, let us continually offer our sacrifice of praise to God by proclaiming the glory of his name. Okay? This is with Jesus' help, guys. Okay? That's one of the best things about this. I think the worship team can come on up. We're going to review real quick while they come on up here. You were once children of
darkness,
rebellion, iniquity. Now you are walking in light from the Lord. We are all filled with light. And then one more time, walk as children of light. Go ahead, worship team, with the just a benediction. May God give you peace, dear brothers and sisters. May God give you love with faith. May God's grace be upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Right at the end of Ephesians. You are blessed. Walk with the Lord this week. Be a bit better Christian. We're dismissed.